Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. It's always an honor to come to your home, where we can share information and continue to fill in our missing pages. There are so many things that relate to underserved communities in terms of their contribution to history that has been left out of the history book. We would like to try to play a part and fill our part by starting filling in these missing pages of history. Tonight, we're going to talk about this whole question of dealing with this issue of equality in America, what that look like, talk about its essence. At the same time, we would like to involve you in terms of some news that you can use. And to do this, we're going to first start off, and we're just going to state some economic facts as related to this theme around equality in America. And when we think about this concept of equality in America, based upon the CNN poll that was taken in August 2014, there are some interesting statistics that they list as relates to the issue of black and white. One of the economic indicators, as we talk about the issue of equality, they stated that in the median household of wealth, we average when it comes to white households of median wealth, they have $91,405. Where for the black household, they only have like $56,446. They took a look at home ownership. When we talk about home ownership for white communities, the average is about 72.9% of home ownership, whereas for black communities, they have 43.5% of home ownership. They also took a look at the area of the median household income. On average, white were averaging something like $59,754, where for blacks, you're only talking about $35,416. When you look at the issue of unemployment rate during that time, where the unemployment rate was 11.9%, whereas for blacks, it was only 5.3%. Again, when you're talking about this whole question of inequalities, and when you're talking about the poverty rate, they have at right now, for poverty rate, they had whites 9.7%, while blacks 11.4%. These are just some indicators in terms of numbers, in terms of data one has to look at. But also when we talk about equality, there are certain behaviors where organizations, institutions, individuals carry out that will give you a clear picture on this issue of inequality as relates in America, particularly the issue of race. And we're going to talk about this question of inequality as we talk about different forms. For example, there's an issue that is going on where people want to create new bills. We got this Regulated Freedom Bill where Governor Spencer wants to institute. And I think this definitely going to address this question of inequality and discuss this particular act and this particular bill. We have one of our contributors and analysts, Emmanuel, out of North Carolina. He will come and share his views, perspectives, to educate on this particular bill that the Governor Spencer wants to institute, how it may play out in terms of this whole concept of inequality. Emmanuel, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Good afternoon.
Emmanuel, based upon the number I stated, and more particular, we know that Governor Spencer has a bill out that he wants to institute. Can you talk a little bit about his bill and that concept and how they may play out in terms of this whole concept of inequality?
Well, Governor Spence of Indiana introduces a bill called the Religious Freedom Bill. Now, this bill, and it says he's making this bill biblical to a certain point. It has no points. But he's saying this to the evangelicals, of course, the conservatives, which I put slash racist, or the conservative party, basically conservative, they're racist. They need to just stop it. Let's make the word longer, that's all. They just plain stop it. But it's conservatism. All you got to do is circle all the A, the C, the I, the S, and M in conservatism. That's what you got, racism. So we need to stop it. We got to attack these institutions. This bill what it's saying basically, that you can, let's put it this way, when you go to a restaurant, they don't have to serve you, according to standards they have set forward. And these standards can be pigmentation, it can be race, ethnicity, it can be gay. They do not have to serve you. This is what this bill is saying, basically. Religious freedom bill. That's all this bill is saying. He can call it up and put it the way he wants to put it. But once you start hitting them in the pocketbook, all this stuff goes away. Just stop going. And other people will stop going. Other minorities will stop going based on what you look like, who you are, your anatomy, all these things where you're handicapped. They don't want you in there, in their restaurant or place of business, which is fine. And it's up to them to say, well, we can do, we can, based on this religious freedom bill, we can do this. This bill is being looked at 17 states, control houses by the Republicans. So this is what this bill is trying to basically institute. Segregation, again, this is what this bill is all about. If they do not like what's going on in America, then you need to move back to Europe or where you come from, your ancestry. It's very simple. You need to move back where you come from, originally from. Because the founding fathers, who is basically the Indians of the founding fathers here, not George Washington, not these folks we'll be talking about, this was already here. You land on Plymouth Rock, you met somebody. This is their country, their land, their everything. So we need to stop it. Stop lying in history. Stop lying. Indians say a white man speaks with a forked tongue, and his tongue is still forked. So this kind of bill should not even be tolerated. He should impeach himself, the governor of Indiana. He needs to just step down and say, you know something, I apologize, and I'm going to back where I originated from, where it was Poland, what part of Europe you come from, England, whatever part, you need to just go back there. Let them tolerate you. Because the United States of America is not going to tolerate your nonsense anymore. We're sick and tired. You're sick and tired of your laziness, or slave shit, because you don't want to do no work. You don't want to bring slaves here, you should brought them here. Because you don't want to do no work. But do no work now. Or you talk about other people lazy. You're the one that are lazy. So we need to stop it. Let's tell the truth for once. Let's tell the truth. We don't want to tell the truth. We see the truth on TV. We see it in the media. We see it all. I have and I have nots. Well, everybody wants to have. America should not have nor have nots. Everybody should have. It's a land of opportunity. For a few, not for everybody. So we got to stand up and say, you know something? Inequality has to go. We don't need that anymore. Religious freedom, that's why people say they came here. You come in religious freedom to enslave someone? I never forget, I was taught in my university that slavery was not profitable. Where it was not profitable, why'd you keep it around for 375 years, 400 years? Now, why you keep something around that's not profitable? Doesn't make any sense to me. Makes sense to you. So common sense is a little more than most people have. But slavery is in your DNA. It's all you're doing. Somebody doing something for you and calling them a lazy who doing all the work. So it's time to expose that. If we're going to expose, in Mr. Business of Haste, we Bits and Pieces of History, we're going to expose everything out. Everything you say, we're going to expose it. And we can prove with facts. Inequality is something that's crazy. And we got to stop it. Got to put a stop.
Emmanuel, when we just look at some of the statistics, like they told me about the net worth of households, it says as high as $141,000 for whites versus $11,000 for black in the net worth in terms of household. And you begin to look at people coming up with policies like this governor that want to make things worse for those who don't have. What is the basis of that? It's not like underserved communities are taking money away from them. Why such hostility in terms of these kind of policies and programs like you just described about this governor want to implement, Governor Spencer? What is
you're not going to do too much out of racist. Racism is what it is. You're colorblind. You're trying to be colorblind, but you're unequal. If we look at statistics across if we measure income, we measure employment, education, health, housing, criminal justice system. We blacks lag behind European American, African Americans. But it's just such a disadvantage. Disparities still remain a permanent feature of American life. Doesn't make any difference. It's explicit discrimination. They don't care. They make it more and more every day. We have a black president, African-American president, and just look how disruptive, how racist they are against him. 65 million Americans voted for him. 65 million. That should tell someone something. The other guy lost by over 5 million, Romney, a Mormon. Another religious type freedom thing. Everybody know about the Mormons. Well, when you look at that, and this guy, Governor Spence, saying what he's saying, inducing a bill of this magnitude, he should be instituting a bill that discriminates, that basically gets rid of its discrimination in his state. Don't want none of it. I listened to the guy, the president of Oklahoma University. He made it real clear, he's not going to have it there. He's not going to have nothing there. These black kids play these sports and make these white coaches very rich. You got 90%, you look at March Madness today, 90% of the players on that floor out there, African Americans. Over 90% of the coaches are white Americans or European Americans. Most of them can't even play the game worth 10 cents. But they're not going to have you in charge regardless because it's money. Those coaches make $2, $3, $4 million a year, and the players aren't making nothing. Zero. They should be paid too. That's a lot of work. They're the ones running up and down the floor. Lazy coaches on the side doing nothing. Nothing. They're the ones taking the falls, getting hit, getting hurt, and trying to study at the same time. That's a lot of work and travel, this and that. Who got the nice home? Who got the family going to college? Who got this and that? They have it all, the have and the have-nots. The have-nots are making the money. I'm not going to make money for you working like a mule and you call me lazy. It ain't going to happen no more. I know who the lazy one is. Call it like you see it. I'll say it again. I'll say it over and over again. If you weren't lazy, you wouldn't need no slaves. It's very simple. I don't care what professor you are. president of the university, don't make no difference. Explain that to me. You work hard, supposed to get this and that. They work hard and don't get nothing. Those that got 4 acres and a mule, never got the mule to 4 acres, didn't get 1 acre. The lies that you tell, and the opportunity we do not get. We're tired of being a 95% consumer. We own less than 2% of the business in America, less than 2%. The same amount we owned in 1865, the same amount. The major five that we have today. So the thing, again, explaining to the American people, we're getting tired. We have to eradicate this abuse of discrimination and injustice. We have to eradicate it. And I have solutions how to do it.
Before we go to any solution, Emmanuel, in terms of this question of inequality and the forms they're taking, I noticed that we're supposed to be held equal protection under the law. And recently, when we look at the behavior of the institution of the police or the military industrial complex, the police, how do you explain what is going on in Detroit, in Charlottesville, Virginia, and other incidents as it relates to young African youth in America, as it relates to the terrorism that's going on by the police department?
Well, black and brown is the ones they're locking up, basically. We're doing the less crime, of course, because most crime is done on Wall Street in the big buildings, where most of the crime is done. But they're not going there because they have lawyers. So they're not doing it. That don't pay off instantly. That's not an instant payoff. They have to have instant payoffs. So what they do, they profile African Americans, they profile Latino Americans, they profile Asian Americans, they profile certain people. They know they will not have the money or the means to get equal protection under law. I mean, get their basic attorney. They know this. So what they do? Traffic stops, any type of stops they get. Planning evidence on you, if in Detroit, outside of Detroit, a town called Eastland, where 90% of the people there are African-American and 90% of the police department is white, well, we got a problem. That's our largest problem. The police department should look like the community, population-wise. That's the first thing we got to do. Get them out of office, vote it in, vote whatever it takes, run them, get out of, we don't care. You got unqualified people in the police department. Most of them are domestic terrorists in there. They are domestic terrorists. That's what they are. They just an extension of the Ku Klux Klan and the crazy groups out there, those white supremacist groups. Get them out of your neighborhood, period. You're not in their neighborhood. The neighborhood is 90% white. You got 90% black officers up in there? No, you don't. So let's do the same thing. That's equal. That's not unequal. So first thing we have to do is make sure that happens. Training don't do no good. When you have domestic terrorists on the police force, training ain't nothing to do with it. You can put cameras out there, nothing to do with it. When you got the DA and the rest of them, they're all in the same bed together, it don't do any good. Their thing is to make money. Make money as quick as possible. And Ferguson, what the guy say? He said, we need 10 more percent. Up the arrest to 10 more percent. Up what arrest? The blacks. 97% African-American in traffic court. All you got to do is get on the highway and see Fireball Roberts roll down the street. NASCAR 500 guys ain't getting no tickets. They stopping you. The thing is to stop you. Because they know that most whites got lawyers. Keep them bogged down, won't get the money. Oh, no. We got a black guy up here. We can get the money as fast as possible. We can lock him up, get paid again, because incarceration is expensive. We don't have no attorney, whatever. This is what they do. And the 26 think tanks to study black America, this is part of their resume in the think tank. How do we make black America pay? They are our main way of getting money quick as possible. They won't hold us up with lawyers because we go in there and we'll plant evidence on them. We will intimidate them and everything else. And this is what they do to us. That's why they do what they do, because they know we don't have much of a recourse. We do not have much of a recourse because they in total control. They're going to control you as long as you live, if you let them. We got to eradicate this, minimize this. The only way you're going to do it is replace the police department in your community. Make it look just like the. If it's 80% black, they get 80% black officers. Chief, mayor, fire commissioner, fire department, the whole works. And these are good jobs, good benefits, and good retirement. That's why they got them. That's why they're there. Because of the benefits, retirement, and black folk are still, they're the ones funding this retirement in Florida. But most of them go Arizona, where they go. Understand what goes on here. They aren't police department because they're there. Because they're qualified. Oh, no. That's somebody's son, somebody's uncle was one. That's what the resume looks like. Somebody's cousin. I'll get you in the police, but I'll get you in. That's why they get rehired again, rehired. There's no background check on them because they're somebody's cousin or somebody's brother or somebody's son. Look at the police department and look at the nepotism in there. It's not about qualification. They don't know what that is. But that is why.
Okay.
Brutality is just an extension of slavery. And that's what the police department is, just an extension of slavery. They've been beating us and lynching us and shooting us since we've been here. That's all they're doing now. Just more modern, that's all. Like I said, we click back to the one in Detroit. They didn't put the audio on. They lying on the man. They got the cameras on 10 guys beating him for nothing. And they're going to stop him anyhow because he was driving a Cadillac. They gonna say. He in a drug-infested neighborhood. That's why they were there. And the man don't drink, got a great job, unarmed, no police record, no nothing. And he said, I heard he say he's going to kill us. Well, where is that at? Tell him that lie. Where do you want to kill you, with his hands? And with 10 of y'all? Stop lying. We got to get the liars out of the police department. We got to get the lying chiefs out. We got to get the city council squared away. We have to get the school board squared away. We got to get black people when you're in a majority in your particular town. That's what you got to do. Vote, vote, and vote, and get them out of there.
Okay, at this point in time, we'd like to let the listening audience know that you're listening to Missing Pages of History. You've been listening to Emmanuel on North Carolina, who is an analyst and contributor. He is speaking to the theme today that we're addressing. As we talk about this question of the status of inequality and race in America. And we'd like, for, as always, for you to come help us fill in our missing pages of history by calling in at 818-337-0016. 818-337-0016. If you have a comment or question, please, on the subject tonight, make sure you hit 1. And we will acknowledge your last 4 number. And right now, see, we have a caller. We've been waiting for a while. We can go to this caller. We can go to caller number 4644. Caller number 4644. Welcome to Mr. Pages of History. Your question or comment, please. Caller 4644.
Yeah, this is Bianchi calling from the Midwest. Actually, calling from the Ferguson area. What's the name of your guest?
Emmanuel is our analyst who's speaking today.
Emmanuel?
Emmanuel. Yes.
Yeah, Emmanuel, this is Pianki. You know what, Emmanuel? You make me feel so good.
You've
been saying the exact thing I've been saying forever. And I tell you what, you got a pencil, both of you got a pencil, and I live here in the Ferguson area. I'm going to send you what we wrote during the time that this came down, and actually about 80% of it has been put in force, or working to be put in force, from the state legislature all the way down to building the training centers. And everything you said about the racial makeup of these departments and how they're ripping black people off needs to be put in effect, not only in the police department and fire department, like you said, but mm-hmm. City Hall, Public Works, and the school district. You got to get them out of your community.
Get
Simple
them out
as
of
that. All that stuff about we going to do right, all that mm-hmm. stuff about we sorry, that don't mean a damn thing. Get them out of your community. One other thing, too. You got to have a training system to start training your children in law enforcement in the high school, emergency medical technician, paramedic, and first responder in the high school for the fire department jobs. And you need to have a separate depository for all the applicants so that when it comes time to hire a new recruit, they have to go to this depository. They can't get on the phone and utilize the good old boy system like they've been utilizing forever and saying, well, we couldn't find nobody.
You're right.
Exactly.
I had a job.
Look, my email address, before you all run out of time, is L as in Larry, C as in Charlie.
Be
the
sure
word
you get
steel, STEEL, at Mindspring, MindSpring.com. If you email me, I'll send you some more literature and some more proposals that we came up with during the time when Mike Brown's situation came down.
Mm-hmm.
So we have you
got that?
LC Steel at MindSpring.com.
Please email me and I'll send it to you. And you need to have more guests on here. We got to say what's on our mind. We so scared to open our mouth. That's some crazy stuff. What are you going to leave your kids?
Yeah, we sure do.
Well, Carla, one of the things we're trying to do at Mr. Page of History is become a platform just to do that. It is to educate and share information and speak truth to power and have a platform. Mr. Page of History is one of the platforms or institutions that we're in the process of developing. And we would always like to have supporters and people like you to help us. So what we'll do is we'd like to let our listener audience know that you can always get in contact with Missing Pages of History at P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23220. If you would like to support us in any kind of capacity, you also get constantly email us to communication by emailing us at email missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. This program is a bi-weekly program. You can reach us every other Saturday at 12 noon, and we will always like to hear from you. So on that note, Brother Bianchi, we'd like to thank you for your contribution tonight. Please share with your listening audience that we come on every other Saturday, and we will be getting back in touch with you. We thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Keep up the good work.
We will.
All right. Emmanuel.
Yes, sir.
Anything else you'd like to add to the point of our caller?
Yeah, that I'm glad he agreed with me 100%. That's what has to be done. They got to find a way and get support groups, and they got to basically not protest and do all this. Stop protesting. You got to put protesting into execution. Make it happen. And again, get a black mayor, black police chief, black farmer. You got to make that 90%. And the city's 90%. Make sure you got that to get things happening. Because, again, that city gets all kind of money. Just from a stalling fact is that most whites are unqualified for those jobs. They make up their qualifications then because they're not contested. Nobody actually looks at them, per se. But, again, it's a lot of nepotism involved. It's the good old boys that, but they brag on it. They brag on that. Inequality going to stay like it is until we start executing, taking over towns that we are majority in and make sure we get the money from the government like everybody else do. This government runs on $350 billion plus every month. $350 billion. You multiply that times 12, that's why the budget between $4.5 trillion and $4.8 trillion. Most people don't know this, what I just told you. It takes to run this country $350 billion per month plus. When I said plus, that means when there's this asset like a Katrina. Well, that's a plus. So certain things happen that the plus come involved. You put out extra money. They said things like, the military. Guys get promotions. They get more money, has to go toward the military. That's a plus. But $350 million. $350 billion, what it takes to run this country every month. And believe me, They come at that money through government contracts, through City Hall, every way they can make sure they get that money. Then they take and throw it, just a $14 billion worth of welfare, $14 billion, that's all it is, per year. Not per month, but per year. I think it's $91 black people get for food stamps, and whites get almost $300. Whites get 66% of the food stamp money. Over a million soldiers get food stamps. And you know, in the military. Oh, and the police department in New York and other places like that get food stamps, get vouchers. Nobody want to talk about that. They get the money, but try to put it on you. We aren't getting no money. We're not. Section 8 housing, I've been in some place with brick homes, $400,000. Guess who's living in them? White people. Guess what they're paying per month? $48, $50, $60 a month in a brick home. They got you in projects. They got you in projects. They got the Indians on reservations. We have to expose them. It's all written. They write it. You put in the book, I'll find it. It's amazing what the equality is in this country. We're going to have to expose. So, Ms. Bates, we're going to be exposing all the inequalities in income and housing, everything out there that they put pointing our fingers at, we're going to point it right back at them. Only 12% of the military guys, African-American, are officers. Just 12%. You know what retired officers get in the military? It's amazing what they get. And the MOSs they get and the re-up money they get, blacks average about $9,000 to $11,000. Whites average from $18,000 to $22,000 to re-up in the military. It's amazing all the stuff that they do is inequality. From the military on down, every phase of this country, they make sure that they're on top. They are the have, you're the have, and they're going to keep it that way.
When you talk about inequality, Mr. Zuckerman, can you speak a little bit about the game that's being played with these young athletes who go into these universities, like this so-called Mark Madness now? How does that fit in terms of the question of inequality?
March Madness is where you see 90% black athletes run up and down that floor, and the coaches are white, making $4-5 million a year, and Coach K makes $9.7 million a year, Coach K of Duke. They make money off them. I call them running slaves, what they are. Running slaves and don't want to pay them one dime. And all they do is basically report bad, negative things on them. I read some books called The Legend of the Jews by Louis Ginsberg. It said to report 90% negative news on black people all given times. Oh, is that amazing? That's what's going on. 90% negative. Well, because Jamie Winston stole some crab legs out of the supermarket, didn't pay for them. Right? He was hungry. You give him money, it wants to be that way. Because the black kids aren't rich. You made sure of that during slavery. Make sure that nothing, discrimination, you know, all this stuff, Jim Crow, segregation, you make sure that doesn't happen. Keep us in that begging mode. But if we can't make money for you, we don't need you. That's what the European American is saying. If they can't make money for us, we don't need them. They have devalued the running back position, the most prized position one time in football. Man's devalued. Well, they get all the money to the white quarterback, who most of them can't even play. No athletic ability whatsoever. Can't run, can't do nothing. But it's okay, because they got to be in charge. They have to be the supervisor, the manager. This is just the way it's done. It patterns all the way up from the cities like in Ferguson, they own top, to all the way in the sports. They own the team, they're the general. They maybe got two black general managers, 32 teams, 90% black players, because it's about the MONEY. It's all about capitalism. And I'm going to say it again. Race, religion, racism equals capitalism. Those three things there equals capitalism. The blueprint is already out here for you. They show you exactly what they do to you through the media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. They show you exactly what most of that stuff is all negative on you. What they do don't count. They can erase it. It sure disappear. They really don't care. You see how they treat our black president. 19 million black folks haven't get in, but 65 million wanted for it. So, wow, that's amazing. So some people are pretty good here. But you got 60 million people didn't vote for him, which won't save this or that. But look what they lost, and look how they treat him. He's doing everything he can and doing a hell of a job. He's the best president I've ever seen in office. I've been here a long time. He's the best by a long shot. They're not even close to him. At least they had a bunch of dummies in there, from Bush to Ronald Reagan, a bunch of dummies, movie star. He wasn't no president. What he was, just a movie star. Call him what he is. We got to start talking negative but truthful about the same people who are talking negative and untruthful about us. Stop being intimidated. We have to execute things. Easter is coming. Don't shop them for Easter. Hit them in the pocketbook. They only act when they got empty buses, as Martin Luther King say. When nobody riding the bus, they ain't making no money. They're going to do some stuff real quick. That's what you got to do. Spend that $1.2 trillion with them. That's a problem. And again, sports is landed. I look at March Madness. I look who's out there watching, who's buying them high-priced tickets. And no, you can't. Another form of discrimination. Make the ticket size and we can't buy them. We don't make enough money to buy them. We wait on them. Our job is to wait on them while they're sitting there, to sell them peanuts and sodas and all that crazy, to wait. They'll keep you in a wait-on position. And I have not position. That's all they do. And watch them black kids go up and down that floor and make this money, because they ain't going nowhere after that. One or two on the team, that's about it. Might go to Europe to play ball or somewhere else to play ball. Most, how many going to make it? Only 5% make the pros. We have to teach them that. Only 5%. And they got to get paid while they're making money for them. They should get it paid also. I don't care if it's amateur. Not amateur, but you're getting paid. University getting paid. You're selling all kind of stuff. Everybody's getting it. You try to sell a T-shirt, they want to lock you up and suspend you for the school for a whole year. You sell one little T-shirt. What is a T-shirt? But the coach allowed to do shoes, make commercials, do this and that, have his own show, radio show. You're not allowed to do nothing. You paying for your education through the school by playing ball. And that was one time you couldn't even play. Oh, they say you're inferiority, you couldn't even play ball, couldn't you? Now you're superior to them. What you going to say now? You're superior players. They're not even close. But we're still going to be in charge, though. We're going to still be in charge. Whether they can coach or not, don't make any difference. They're qualified. That's their resume. And the first application, or the first sentence on the application, is W-H-I-T-E, or Caucasian or European. That's the first acceptance. We have to get that known and put it out there and expose it. You're not superior what you think you are. We look at TV every day. We're so superior, it's pathetic. We come out of Egypt, the first cradle of civilization. That's what you're scared of. You're afraid of all of that. I would be too. All this can get along if everybody get an equal opportunity, equal chance to do. Affirmative action been around for 425 years. But white people, Caucasians, Europeans, you got all the affirmatives. Affirmative action been around for a long time. And to give you an example of that, when you go to the bank to get a loan to start a business, they tell you no, and they tell a white man yes. See, that's affirmative action, saying yes to something and telling you no. Discrimination, that's the affirmative action that you got on your side. Nobody can explain like I can explain it. I don't care if you get any professor you want to get. Let them go up against me, Mr. Emmanuel. I'll take them on any day in time and show it to me in your history book, because history means his story. Well, I got a story for you, too. It's called The Missing Page of History. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Emmanuel, before we close out, we can go back to your audience, ask them, keep you under 1 minute or so, and then we're going to actually make some closing remarks. We can go back to that caller, 4644. Caller 4644, last comment you'd like to make. Caller 4644.
Well, as I said before, what the man is actually saying is true. And you know, you talk about those college athletes. Football and basketball brings in enough revenue to pay scholarships in those sports that our children don't even participate in. And that's a shame also. Our children should know about the behind-the-scenes things that go on in order to make the play on the field and the court possible. The merchandising, the marketing, sports medicine, training, coaching, advertising, concessions. We're not in those fields. Our children don't even know anything about that. So that there has to be a target also. Thank you once again.
Okay, thank you, Carl, for listening to Mr. Page's History. Emmanuel, we only have a couple of minutes left. What we'll ask you to do at this time, if you could. I know one of the things about when we talk about this question, inequality and race in America, a lot of times it's how they paint the type of words you use, how they create a conception of something or a perception of something. Now, I noticed earlier you may have stated this question of domestic terrorism as it relates to the institution of the police department. Can you talk just briefly, what do you mean by domestic terrorism, which I find is real ironic in terms of how it's so close to the reality of how we see terrorism everywhere else. Can you just briefly talk a little bit about this concept of domestic terrorism as it relates to the police behavior?
Well, back in the day, we go back a little further back, you can see some of the movies to show you, when they made outlaws became a posse, outlaws became sheriffs of towns, outlaws became police officers as we graduated into law enforcement. So you had outlaws who became police officers. They tell you that. The history book tells you all that. And lynching was a huge thing. And where lynching, they got away with it. There was no trial, no anything. Well, that's an extension of slavery brutality. Same thing. Posses, runaway slaves, go catch them, kill them, hang them, shoot them, whatever. Rewards, same old craziness. Well, now it's in modern times now. They found out how much money you make, how much money they can make off of this type of thing. So they recruit people from the Kansas, from the Missouris, for towns that had this racism thing with police department back in the days. The Pinkertons, whatever, same old thing. And what has happened is that they have graduated now in this particular era. And they're getting people who basically are Republicans, conservatives, conservatism type people, and they're basically asking, well, what is your political favor when they hire you? You're Republican, you're hired. They don't say, do you hate blacks? You ain't got to say that. You know Republicans hate them anyhow. There's no problem. So the phrases they use, conservatism, well, that's racist. We all know that. See? They don't ask you, are you a former Klansman? They say, are you conservative? That hides all that other stuff. That's what you are. It hides that all. They don't have to come out and say it. They say, are you conservative? Are you ultra-conservative? Well, conservative means you're... These things in graduates to the police department. So our police department, domestic terrorism, that's who they are. They're going to stay that way regardless till you weed them out. All of them need to be revamped totally, especially where there's black communities involved. And let's look at the court records and see why they're in there, the reasons they're there, and let's do a statistical study on that. Every black university and some white universities that are not conservative, like Liberty University, to do a study. Go into the court system and see who's coming up in there and for what reasons. And the percentage of population where blacks are 13% of the population, and see why we're 88% of the people being arrested in the court system for trafficking, for speeding tickets, suspended license, driving this, and, please, don't get me started on that.
All right. We got to stop the rebellion. We're out of time. We'd like to thank our listening audience for allowing us the opportunity to come to your home. We'd like to remind you that we'll see you every other week. We'll see you on the 11th.